All right. Isaiah 32:17. Today we're going to talk about peace. How we get peace and where it comes. Of course, peace is from Jesus because he is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace.
Amen.
And the things we worry about, the things we're stressed about, you normally, and I know all of us here have jobs and have family and have relationships and have everything. And the thing that stresses us out or makes us anxious are because we're control freaks, so we want to control everything in our life and in other people's life. And usually we're stressed about things we cannot change or cannot do anything about. That's true in politics, that's true in our families, that's true in our own life, that's true in our spouses' lives. So you just got to let everything go and give everything to God. Philippians 4:7 says, don't be anxious for anything. Anxious for anything. That means everything. That means the way you look, the way you dress. I mean, I'm talking about simple things, or your diet, your family. I'm trying to just list everything that we do in this world. You just got to give it all to God and say, God, I'm a mess. I cannot do anything right. I mean, look what I did with my life, and I'm worried because this is happening, and this happened in my life, and I got this pain in my side, or I got this whatever. So those things we worry about, and we have no control over them. You just don't have control over anything. If you only knew that, then you'd be peaceful, because God has everything under control, because he promised. My peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. So people are troubled and afraid, and the way they deal with it is a pill, which doesn't work. It's just covering some symptoms. And then you have people. Some people get into all kinds of stuff.
Chiropractors.
That's one thing. Yeah, no. things that don't. They're just temporal. This world is just temporal. It's just things you see are temporal. Things you don't see are eternal. So our peace has to come from something else besides moving out in the country and having a peaceful house and a little pond and all that kind. We tried that. It doesn't work either. I tried that for 25 years. So we moved back to the city, and I actually have more peace now than I ever had because everything's so convenient and I don't have to worry about anything. This is awesome. Yeah, it saved me a lot of time, yeah. But we all stress. I do. Pastor Jim does. Everybody. But we don't have to. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We don't have to stress about anything. Nothing. Literally nothing. You don't have to worry about anything. On the way here, Leah had a concern when we were driving in our car. So I said, well, let's pray. Because why be stressed about it? If we pray it, give it to God, then we don't have to worry about it anymore. So that's what we did. And then hopefully you're not worried anymore. Right, Leah? Did it work? Did my prayer work? Probably not. But so you don't worry about it. So peace is like shalom. Peace is everything. That's exactly what God gave you. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peace is everything. Now peace, I'm going to tell you where peace comes from. For us, as believers. Verse 17, Isaiah 32 says, and I got other scriptures, tons of, I just always like to get an Old Testament scripture too, but it says, and this is an awesome scripture, I've been meditating on this all week. In the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect, or the how it's going to affect you is of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. That is an awesome scripture. And that's your gift that God has given you. My peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And he just, but you know, he says, I give you. It doesn't say you have to work for it, or you have to, you know, strive for it, or you have to somehow get it. Everybody's wanting to get it. I just don't get it. But that's, you don't have to get it. You just have to read the Bible and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Simple. It's very simple. You die, Jesus lives, and then you have peace. Another scripture, the one I just read, I think, is in John chapter 14, I believe. It says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, now as the world gives unto you. So peace comes by your righteousness. If you're not righteous, Now, righteousness is a gift, right? We all know that. It's imputed to us. It's just given to us as a gift. If you're not righteous, you have no peace. None. There's no such thing as unrighteousness, and I have peace too. It just, you don't have it. Because you're going to have to do something. You have to do a thing. You have to do. If, for us, we don't do anything. But for the world and for a lot of Christians, they have to do something to try to get peace. Move somewhere. Go on a cruise. I don't know. Whatever people do to get peace. But you have it all the time. I'm telling you, you can have it all the time. Last night, Lee and I babysat our grandchildren. Lee knew I was going to say, talk about this, but... Oh, I just spilt my water. Oh, man. But I have peace anyway. I have total peace right now.
We can refill that.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let's get a towel. But anyway, we were babysitting our grandkids, and they spilt everything, no, just like I did. But Anna and David went on a, my daughter Anna and her husband David went on a, went to a wedding, and we had two. They have two kids. Jax is one and a half, and then Emma is just, you know, newly born, probably, what, 3 months old. Anyway, but... Anyway, you know when you have kids like that and they're all wanting to do stuff and they're screaming and anyway, outwardly you don't have much peace, right? Yeah, I'll just put it somewhere else. So outwardly you don't have much peace at all. So anyway, Emma wouldn't go to sleep. She was just, you know, fussy and I was, you know, I was watching the Texas Tech basketball game. Just confessing my sin right now. Just because I like basketball in general, but I was watching the Texas Tech game and they won, by the way. It was awesome. And so I had so much peace. I had oh, sorry. It was an awesome game. It was a good game. It was awesome. Yeah. Keep watching it. It was awesome. I'm sorry. You didn't think I was going to talk about that this morning. That's funny. Sorry about that. Yeah, you can have peace about it now. Now you don't have to stress over who's going to win. You've already won. It's kind of like us, huh? We've already won. We don't have to stress over anything because God has gotten us to victory. He is our victory. Faith is a victory. It overcomes the world. So anyway, Emma was just crying and stuff like that. So anyway, I kind of know how to deal with kids because I've had six of them. So I picked her up and she laid across here and her head was right here. And she would instantly, like if I gave her Leah, she'd start crying and screaming and stuff. But when she gave her to me, she'd be like totally peaceful. So I was like, but it was, at first it was kind of awesome, but then I had to hold her for like an hour, and my arm was about ready to fall off. But she was so peaceful. I mean, she didn't do anything. She wasn't, you know, stressing over anything. She didn't even know anything. So she just knows that, man, this is awesome. So I was holding her, and she was sleeping. Her arm was hanging over like this, and she was, you know, totally sleeping. So I got to thinking about that, too. I was thinking, man, that's our life, just like it says here. It says, in the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forevermore. Now, you can be peaceful all the time because you guys are all righteous. And I was doing this last week because I taught this at house church last Wednesday. But righteousness, if it's a gift, if it's just a free gift, something we've just received from the Lord, which it is, then you can have peace like right away, like right now, like this instant. All you got to do is remember, be remembered, be like Peter always said, I'm writing these things to encourage you to, so you'll remember these things and won't forget them. If you forget you're righteous, then you're going to be stressed. You're just going to be stressed. You're not going to have any peace. You remember what Jesus did, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. If you remember what Jesus did, then you're at peace because you're righteous. Because sin always stresses you out. It always, you're anxious, a little anxious about it because you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how, your flesh doesn't know how to, your flesh wants to make up for it. It wants to somehow take that sin and you sacrifice something for it, or you make up for it, or you repent, you do this, you do that. You want to do something about the sin, but you can't because you have no power over sin, none. I mean, none. Only Jesus does, but he lives in you, and he'll take care of it. All you got to do is say, come boldly to the throne of grace, and then you get peace right back. You always have peace, constantly, all the time. But when you're, you ever notice little kids, when you never spank them, you never discipline them, then they're always stressed. And that's what people are crazy nowadays. There's no discipline. Nobody has any discipline. Kids just do what they want. They have no fear of God. They have no fear of people. They have no fear of adults. They have no fear of police officers. They have no fear of nothing. Because they've been spoiled. And if you're a Christian, you come under discipline, then you have peace. Because God's dealing with your sin all the time, getting rid of it, so it doesn't rule over your life. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. And you can never do it by a law. Amen. You have to get rid of the law. I don't have any laws in my family. Not for my wife, right, Leah? I have no law. I have no expectations of my wife to do anything or to be anything. And she's free. I have to set her free. Just like I do all my friends, Pastor Jim, all the people I have fellowship, all the people in my house, church. I have no control over people, even my own life. I have no control. I have no expectations. I don't even know what I'm doing. But you do. So I'm always talking to Jesus and trusting in him all the time so that he does everything. And it makes me peaceful. Because then I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about my job. I don't have to worry about a decision I'm going to make. Even if I make the wrong decision about something, like in my business, if I make a wrong decision or something, or it always works out. So I don't have to even worry about that. God, this is a decision that I believe you're telling me to do this. This is how I talk to Jesus. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but you got to cover for me if I'm wrong. But I believe I'm hearing you say this. Then I don't worry about it. People are stressed over that kind of stuff. I just talked to a friend a couple weeks ago, and they were like, oh, should I do this or should I do that? But if I do this and this will happen, and if I do that, that'll happen, or whatever. It was a pretty stressful thing, but I'm like, God, why do you worry about that? What if you made the total wrong decision? So what? Repent and go on. That's what the gospel is for, right? You can come boldly to the throne of grace still, even if you did the wrong thing, even if you sinned, even if you didn't hear Jesus exactly right. But people are stressed over that. When I pray every day, the first thing I want to hear is, Jesus, do you love me still today? Well, yeah, he does. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I don't have to be good today? Nope. Do I have to do anything today? Nope. Awesome, that's even better. And then we go on and on and on. Pretty soon I'm at total peace because I'm not under any law. I even tell you, I go, Jesus, I have no obligations today. I'm not under any law. I'm not under any stress because there's nothing for me left to do except worship you, thank you, and praise you. And then I know you're going to do work through me. But I believe by faith that he's going to work through me, so I'm just going to do everything by faith. Like last night, I didn't really want to babysit my kids, but I knew what I could have done which my flesh wanted. I could have just said, I'm going to go maybe sit in our living room, because Leah's mom and dad were in their room with Leah's sister. I'll go in there and I'll just watch the basketball game by myself. It's really quiet and peaceful, and Leah can take care of the kids. But I knew in my heart, I said, well, that's not going to happen. But I wasn't stressed out about it. I didn't care about it. I thought, okay, I'm just going to go, and then I can help out whatever Leah needs me to do. But it ended up that I had to hold Emma the whole time. She's big, too. She's a big old fat baby. But it was great. It was way better than the... And I got to watch the game, too, because my son was there, and they had the game on. I was just holding her and watching the game and walking around. So it all worked out good. I got to bless Leah and Emma, and I got to watch the basketball game all at once. And I could never figure that out on my own. I couldn't figure that out. You just can't figure life. You're not ever going to figure your life out or other people's life. You're just not going to. I've tried to figure Leah's mom out for 3 years now. She's just an enigma, or she's a conundrum. She's a debacle. I don't know whatever you want to call it. So I'm not going to figure it. But I'm not worried. I'm just going to love by faith. Just love her and love, you know, just do all that. And then it all works out. But anyway, that is peace is something that you have to have. You can't skip it. And peace is actually Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. So if you have Jesus... You know, you've seen the bumper stickers. I've got Jesus, you got peace. You know, everybody's seen those bumper stickers. But it is true. Because you want to know Jesus. But see, the thing that stresses people out is they want to be good. Don't ever go for that. That's a lie. That's the devil's biggest lie. Well, you have to be good. Well, that immediately you're stressed. Immediately. If there's a law given to you, some rule you have to keep, then you're stressed. But even if you do, let's say this world, there's laws and rules. I'm talking not God's rule. I'm talking about man's rules, like speed limits and stuff like that. It's okay to do that, but you can't be stressed about it. Just do it as unto the Lord. Don't worry about it. And if you make a mistake and get a ticket or something, it's not that big of a deal. You're not going to die or go to hell or anything like that. But you just have to do what God says, even if you go to jail. Paul and Silas, I mean, the first time they healed somebody, they were on their way to prayer. The guy was lame from birth. 40-something years, this guy was lame from birth. I mean, he couldn't walk. They put him on a cot, and they carried him there, and he begged. And they said, Peter said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we'll give to you. So they gave him way better than money. I mean, if I was like that, I would much rather be healed than win the lottery or something like that. So anyway, they healed the guy, and then, you know, then the Jews, the Sanhedrin, all of them, they got ticked off, which is crazy. Every time I read that, I'm like, why were they so mad for? Who cares if it was the Sabbath or whatever? Anyway, so they got thrown in jail, and they were happy. If you read the story, they weren't even stressed at all.
Amen.
Like, well, my life's over anyway. Jesus, you know, my life is hid with Christ and God. Who cares? We're in jail. Let's praise the Lord, you know. And then when they got done, the whole thing, you know, there's this long, drawn-out thing. The next day, they put them in jail. Then, you know, of course, the angel let them out, and they're out there preaching. And the Sanhedrin go get those guys out of jail. And, oh, they're not even there. So they were all freaking out over that. And then they were preaching back in the porch there, where the synagogue was and all that. And then they got them again. And they said, what are you doing preaching in the name of Jesus and all this stuff? And they were mad again. And then, anyway, when the whole thing ended up, Peter and John went back to the people. And then they were happy. They were all praising God and rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer for Jesus. Amen. They weren't even stressed out about it. And they just went on and did their thing. And that's the same way we are. Who cares if we go to jail or don't go to jail, or if we live in the country or live in the city, or if we're, you know, this, live in an apartment, or where we live, or who we are, or what we do. It doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is do you have peace? But the minute you put pressure on somebody else or put pressure on yourself, then you're under law. Then you're obligated. Then you're stressed. If I had a law for Leah, then she'd have to perform. That's too much stress for her. She's going to get sick and, you know, she's not going to be happy and all that kind of thing. But no, I don't put any stress on her. I don't care if she makes me breakfast or doesn't make breakfast or makes dinner or doesn't. I'm 60 years old. I can make my own breakfast. And I can make my own dinner. It might not be quite as good, but it's all. So anyway, there's just no laws or rules that we have to keep. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read in a minute. But what I'm trying to do is tell you that peace, righteousness has a fruit to it. Or has a, like it says here in Isaiah, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of it, the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And in Psalms 83, I believe it's Psalms 83, it says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That means they're connected. That means they've touched each other. When you kiss somebody, you touch them with your lips. I mean, you're touching, you're connected. So righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness is your peace. Because your righteousness is Jesus, who is your peace. So it's actually a person. It's not something you get apart from Jesus. It's actually like healing or anything else that God gives as a gift. Jesus is the gift. He is the gift of our righteousness. He is our righteousness. You'll never be righteous apart from Jesus, not even in heaven. You won't be righteous apart from Jesus. It's all Him. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. Even in heaven, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, He's still the cornerstone. He's still everything. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our everything. He's our all in all. And that's where peace comes from. So if you don't have peace, you have to go, Jesus, how come I'm not peaceful? This is how you talk to Jesus. Jesus, why come? You said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. How come I don't have peace? And He'll show you because you're trying to be good or something. I would rather know Jesus than be good. Amen. If you're good, if you would rather, but most people don't want that. Be good for goodness sake, or, you know, they're trying to appease God or trying to appease themselves or appease their spouse or appease the world by being good, picking up 7 pieces of trash, being kind to animals, you know, having a solar panel on your house. There's tons of ways you can please the world, but it's stressful because stuff's expensive. How much it cost? I think it's crazy. People have, they buy these dogs. I don't feel bad if you did this, but because we've done it. We've had a dog, we spent like $500 on a stupid thing, and then it just was a disaster. And, you know, you got to take your dog to the vet and spend millions of dollars on the dog, and dog food's expensive, and it's just crazy. My dog, I love my dog, but he's a dog. And he can live outside. It's not that big of a deal. Even if it's 50 degrees out, he's going to live. He's got fur, and he doesn't even infect him. He's like, as a matter of fact, he seems to have more energy when it's cold out. But everybody's like, put your dog in the house. I'm like, what? He's got a dog house? He's fine. But anyway, it's just crazy how we have so many laws and so many regulations and so many things that can stress us out. I mean, you just think of one, pick one day out of your life, and you're stressed. You know, if you had any kind of problems or something happened. But we have a gift, the gift of righteousness, that doesn't come by any law. Like I said, once you're the Bible says that if you want to get rid of sin, then you have to come under grace. That's the only way. There's no other way. There's none. You cannot be good. So you have to come under grace and then come out from underneath the law. Jesus already did the law. He established the law. He already did it. It's done. He's the only man that ever did it, will ever do it, not even close. So I'm just going to piggyback on his righteousness because he gave it to me for free. It's just a gift. I just still can't, to this day, even I've been saved for 30-something years now, I still can't believe it. You know, being a Catholic, I was, you know, like I told you guys before, I've always was working, trying to cover up for my sin, trying something to please God somehow by being good. Goodness does not please God. I'm telling you, it doesn't. Your goodness does not please God. It almost sounds like it would in the Bible, but it doesn't. If he's the only one that's good, which we preach at this church, which is true because the Bible says only God is good, then how can you be good anyway? So relax. Let God do everything.
Praise Jesus.
That's why you pray about it. I mean, I'm learning to do this like I did with Leah on the way to church today. I'm learning that every time I start feeling stressed or worried about something, immediately I pray. I don't even wait because I don't want to be stressed for 1 second.
Praise God.
It's too much. Stress will cause you to have pain in your body. It'll cause you to be fearful. Stress is very fearful. Oh my gosh, I didn't do. Look what I did. Even if I do a sin to somebody else, I despise them or something, I just go to Jesus. What else can I do? I did it. I'm guilty. What am I going to do? Worry about it or stress over it or something like that, or I'm going to go to hell now or something. No, you just go right to the throne of grace immediately. As a matter of fact, that's all maturity is. If you want to be a mature Christian, just go to Jesus every time. It doesn't mean you're... Being a mature Christian doesn't mean you sin less or something like that. It has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, you probably will see a lot way more sin. Because when you're a young Christian, things like smoking and chewing and drinking and cussing and those outward kind of sins are usually the sins you're dealing with. Habits. But when you start growing in the Lord, you're like, oh my gosh, I despise that person. Or I looked at that billboard, oh my gosh, I lusted. Or whatever the thing is that you did, it's more inward things. Envy, jealousy, fear. Oh my gosh, people are afraid. You know, there's a lot of fear in this world. That's a big sin. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelation, it's the first one listed on those that go to hell. Fear. What? God, that's not fair. But the Bible says don't be afraid. So we don't have to be afraid. And sin is difficult to get rid of your flesh, because you don't want to die. But really, it's easy, because all you're doing is you're trusting in the Lord. You got to not love this world, nor the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, boast pride of life. So you got to learn not to love those things, but we love them. I love, you know, boastful pride of life. I mean, if I was... You know, I told you guys before, I always had this dream of being a rock star, even though I can't play the guitar and I can't sing. So it's a worthless dream. Or I had this dream of becoming an NBA basketball star. But, you know, I'm not built for it. Or
Spudweb.
Yeah, I could have been Spudweb or something, but I can't jump. I got the white man's disease. So anyway, you can't... So that's just the boastful pride of life. We want to be something... And we're already something. If you could look at eternity, you are the best of the best on this world, in this world right now. And you don't know that because you think, well, I just hang blinds for a living, or I just go to Emmanuel, what a dumpy, worthless church, or whatever. We think these things, but that's not true. You have eternal life. Jesus, you are the apple of his eye. I mean, just think about it. The God of the universe. He created everything. He sustains everything. He redeems everything. Loves you. And you are precious to him. And he's always he arranges the whole world just to bless you. And if you could think about that, Like when I pray, I go, God, I'm your favorite. Gosh, that is awesome. I cannot believe I'm your favorite. And then I pray like that because it's true. And you are too. You should do the same thing. You should say, Danny thinks he's a favorite. I am the favorite. Or Pastor Jim, he thinks he's a favorite. I think I am. Yeah, of course, we all are, but you got to talk like that because God is, he's awesome. And he loves you and he takes care of you. And then he gives you all the peace, all the joy. The kingdom of God in Romans 14, I think it's 14, 17, something like that, says, right, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not stuff you see or feel or touch. It's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness produces peace, which is Jesus, which produces joy. So you get all three, and that's the kingdom of God. And once you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, then you do the works. You do like John said, faith without works is dead. Then you do the works. Because you have righteousness, you have peace, you have joy in the Holy Ghost. You don't, it's not the other way. I'll heal somebody or I'll witness to somebody. That will give me joy and peace. It won't. I just tell you it won't. The thing that gives you righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is Jesus himself, Christ Jesus himself. And with Jesus, he freely gives you all things. But you get Jesus first and only. And then he gives you everything. What it means by giving you everything else, it just means in him. It's like it says in Corinthians, it says, when Jesus died on the cross and he gave us righteousness, there's in 1 John, it says, a new commandment I give you, which is true. It says, this is what it says. It actually says this in the Greek. It's true in him. It's not true in you. And because of Jesus, though, it is. Then the next line says, it's true in him. Then it says, it's true in you. I was like, man, I always thought the commandment was a commandment for me to do it. But no, it's in him and it's in you already. So you're not trying to be good or trying to be a Christian or trying to be better or trying not to stress or trying to, you just do it. Because it's true in you, new commandment. It's a whole new thing. Not like the Old Testament where you had to be good. This is totally different. This is Jesus being good in you and for you and through you. And it's true in him, in Jesus, and in you also. Because Christ lives in you, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you're always fixing your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. And he's changing you from glory, born again, to glory, sanctification, to glory, glorification. You get all three for free. Don't you? It just gets better all the time. It gets from glory to glory to glory. That means you're getting better. It's better and better. You're not getting better. Who cares about you? Who cares about whether you're doing good or not doing good? That is totally irrelevant to God. He's just giving you a gift. He's saying, here, I got a gift for you. Well, no, God, I got to take care of this problem first. He goes, and God will say, okay, you take care of that problem and come back later. It's not how it works. You got to go to God right away, even though I just lusted, Lord. You know, and then you just go right into the throne of grace. You don't have to even clean up or do anything. Because you're going in based on the blood, on the promise, on the covenant, one-sided, totally one-sided. I will make you a great nation.
Amen.
Those who curse you, I'll curse them. Those who bless you, I'll bless them. And you will be the father of many nations, talking about not just Israel. It wasn't even talking about Israel. It was talking about every nation. Abraham's the father of every nation. Every tongue, every tribe, everybody. God will have a people. Doesn't matter. You can name a China, Japan, the Zambians, every tribe in Africa. They'll have somebody. Vietnam. Cambodia, it doesn't matter. And he'll have somebody, even in your family. I believe it even extends to your family. I know that my family, which is huge, I got a huge family. And so does Leah. We got people, I got first cousins, I don't even know their names. There's so many of them. There's tons of them. I mean, my aunt had 13 kids, and my other aunt had a bunch, and they had a bunch, and they had a bunch, and then my mom and dad have like 28 grandchildren, and it's just, man, there's people everywhere. I don't even know who they are, but I know a lot of them. I know a lot of them, and they love Jesus. It's awesome, and so we have fellowship together. We love each other. Not all of them, but there's going to be some, for sure. So that's a promise. So I'm going with that promise. And my kids, I'm like, man, God, you said my kids will be taught of the Lord. If that's up to me, you know, they're going to be awful. So you better help them. You better help my kids because I'm their dad. So you got to help them. But it's a promise. I'm just going by the promise. I'm not going by how good I'm doing or not doing. Okay, so Romans. I think if somebody can look that up, I think it's Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then Philippians 4:7, let the peace of God rule, it will reign in your heart. Because that peace of God that rule and reigns in your heart is actually Jesus. Jesus is not stressed out. Jesus is not worried. Jesus is not concerned about your sin. Your sin has all been forgiven. It's all been washed in the blood. It's all from, as far as the east is from the west, so far as removed your sins from you. So now I don't have to worry about that anymore. I never stress over my sin. Ever. I mean, never. I don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross my mind when I wake up in the morning that I sinned or something. But, of course, God shows it to me, and I'm like, oh, really? You know, like David said, he goes, as far as I know, Lord, I don't have any sin in me. Then that's why it's like secret sins, and there's all kinds of stuff. You're like, oh, man, God help me. So, but don't dwell on all that. You always keep your eyes on Jesus all the time. And talk to them. That's why I like my, you know, I always read my Bible like this. I do have a Bible on my phone, but I like to read like it because I like, and I got my concordances like totally destroyed. I mean, I can't hardly pick it up anymore. I'm getting so old. The thing is like huge. But I like that because I can, when I'm looking up stuff, I can talk to the Lord. Man, God, you are so good. This is great. I can't believe it. You're showing me all this stuff in the Bible, and I'm just so excited. And so peaceful. But I'm always late for everything, though. That's the only problem. I'm late for everything. I'm late to go to work. I'm late to come to church. Well, I wasn't this morning, though. I came to church pretty early today. But normally I'm late for everything because I'm always excited. So anyway, I want to go to Romans because I want to show you where your peace comes from. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 7. I thought, you know, I was reading that about that peace in Isaiah, about the works of righteousness is peace. And I was thinking, God, well, I know that's true because, but I still sin. So even though I'm not actually righteous in the flesh, you know, but I know you've imputed it to me. I know you've given me a gift. Is that the peace you're talking about? And it is. That's your peace. The peace is, even though you've sinned, Jesus is still your righteousness. He doesn't unrighteousness you. You're still his righteous. You're still righteous. So you can come to God boldly to the throne of grace, totally peaceful, and he will deliver you from whatever sin. He will forgive you, he will empower you, and he will glorify you. All at that moment. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. And you might do it again, so what? Everybody does. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So but the peace, but if you try to do it yourself, if you try to, what's the word, expiate your sin, or you try to cover it up or make up for it, then you'll be stressed. There will be no peace. Because you just created your own righteousness. You just created something that doesn't even exist. Only in your own mind. And it's stressful. Oh yeah, but I was mean to that lady, and now I gotta be kind to three other people to make up for that one lady I was mean to. Or something like that. No, you don't even... You can't do it. You just got to go right to Jesus. Jesus, and I always, you got to talk like this. Jesus, I hated that lady and I despised her and I spoke evil to her. And I repent. But I'm not going to help you out. I thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, you empower me. I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I love my neighbor as myself because the Bible says I do. And that's true in me, in him, and in me. Because Jesus is in me. So it's true in him and in you. It's true. John said that. It's true in him and in you. So it's true in both ways. Because Jesus is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, Romans. I'm going to kind of skip. I like all of Romans, but I like Romans chapter 6. Okay. It says, what shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The key there is you're dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? Were baptized into his death? So you're going to think, right away you're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to be good. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, also we should walk in newness of life. For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall all be, also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old Danny, the old Leah, the old Willis, was crucified with him. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Praise the Lord. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Dead to what? Dead to what?
Sin.
Alex is dead. And he's a new creature now. He's a totally new creature. So because he's a new creature, that means his old man is dead. Even though it acts like it's alive, it wants to act like it's alive and do bad things and do fleshly things. But you're dead. You're dead in your life. Remember, in him, the new commandment is in him and in you. The new commandment is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the commandment. There is no other commandment. And it's all summed up in love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbor. So, but the new commandment is to believe on Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, Jesus said, to believe on me. I'm the door. I'm the sheep. They hated him for it. Remember, Jesus was awesome. He was healing people. He was feeding 5,000 people at one time. He was doing awesome miracles. And they hated, they loved him at first because he was doing all that. But then as soon as he started talking about kingdom stuff and dying on the cross and, you know, saying bad things to the Pharisees and all the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the lawyers and all the people, people hated him. If he just would have kept his mouth shut, this is a lot of people, even a lot of us, that's what we want. Just shut up, Pastor Jim. Don't talk about all that stuff. Just do miracles. I want to see a miracle. People want to see a miracle. They want to see something, some evidence, they call it. But really, the evidence is your life. If you have peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, I'm saying you'll get those things. All those things will be true. Healing, miracles, prophecies, all those things are awesome. But I don't count on them, or I don't have faith in all that stuff. I have faith in Jesus. That's my hope. Because what if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? Then everybody's disappointed. Everybody's kind of, we tried. But with Jesus, we freely get all things. I get healing. I get all those things, but I'm not looking at it. I'm not interested in it. And people think that's weird, but it's not. Why would I be interested? That's God's business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. It's none of my business. I'm just doing whatever God tells me to do. Same with you. You do what God tells you to do. Be at peace. Have righteousness, which is a gift. Peace, which is a gift. Joy of the Holy Ghost, that's a gift. Don't worry about all that stuff. It'll take care of itself. That's what happened to the charismatic movement in the early, in the late 70s, early 80s and the 70s and stuff like that. The area, people were just, they thought they were awesome. If I laid hands on somebody, somebody laid hands on somebody and they got healed, they were awesome. So everybody would come. You get like hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of people would come. You know, but then after a while, the thing ran out. You know, it was just like nobody wanted Jesus. They just wanted his stuff. They wanted to rape him for all of his stuff. And then, Jesus, sanctification, suffering, all that. That was the first message I ever preached on when I was at Shady Grove a long time ago. It was on suffering. I can't remember. It didn't go over very well. Yeah. No, I think it did. It probably did. Because I thought, okay, I'm a Christian now, but how does this thing work? So I had to work all that out. And I didn't even have Pastor Jim to help me out or anything, so I had to do it all myself. But I knew, man, it says in the Bible, or if you're a Christian, you have to suffer, you got to suffer. I didn't know exactly what that meant. But I knew one thing, all that other stuff was, something was wrong with it. So I had to figure it all out. Yeah, I'm suffering because I got to, you know, I can't go out drinking with my buddies anymore. My girlfriend hates me. My parents hate me. Yeah, I can see there's a little suffering involved here. Because your old life is done. When you become a Christian, like if you're a Muslim, for instance, and you become a Christian, your life is over. Maybe literally over. So I knew when I got saved, I knew my life was over. I knew my Catholic life, my love life, my drinking out with my buddy, my social life, my job, everything was over. And I had to start completely over. And I was already 25. I think. Yeah, I was 25. Yeah, I was 24, already 25 years old, so I already had a life. I had a good job. I had everything going for me, supposedly. But then when I got saved, it was all over. So I had to, and then God gave me way more than I could even ask or think. But I still suffered because I lost all that. When you lose somebody, like say somebody you love dies, then you suffer. When you die, you suffer too. But, you know, Alex is dead. My life is over. I have no life anymore except for Jesus. And that's all I want. I don't want any other life. I don't want people to like me or not like me. I don't want my family to be, you know, worship me or anything like that. I don't even care. And my life is over. So all I want to do is know Jesus. And that gives me love. That gives me joy, peace. And then you can love everybody because you have no law for him. I can love Willis. I have no law for Willis. Willis never calls me, never sends me flowers. He never gives me money. He's worthless to me. But he's not. And he's my brother, and I love him, and I love his wife, and I love his kids. Not because I know him real well or because I'm always over at their house or something, because that's because of Jesus. When all you guys show up, Julie, when you show up, when people show up, Lynn and everybody, Raul, it's a blessing to people just to show up. I mean, it is. It leads to me anyway. There could be just two people here. That'd be fine with me. But when people show up, you're like, oh, man, Dan's here. What a blessing. Alex showed up. Wow, what a blessing. It's just a blessing for people just to show up. And you don't have to even say anything or do anything. You don't have to even smile if you don't want to. Just you being here because you have Jesus in you. And you just love people for no reason. For no reason. They don't have to be awesome or anything. You don't have to be anything. Because Jesus loves you and he'll take care of everything. So that's your peace. Let me keep reading. I just want to get this done real quick so I can let you guys go. Where was I? Oh yeah, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Hallelujah. So it doesn't stop there. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died, he didn't have to die anymore. Death hath no more dominion over me. It says in Hebrews, Jesus died once for all eternity. He didn't ever have to die again. You don't have to do anything about your sin. There's nothing, no sacrifice, no nothing. Jesus did it once and for all. He took care of that. God's not mad ever again. I don't care what you did or what you're doing right now. God's not mad. He loves you. He's already, his wrath has already poured out on Jesus. All his anger, all of his wrath, all of his whatever. He loves you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you're just believing by faith. God, I reckon. You can say it. You can actually read this. It's a promise. So I'm holding God to it. Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin. I'm dead to sin.
Yeah.
Let not sin therefore reign your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It is by faith. Neither yield yourselves to members of instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. God, I yield myself to you because I'm alive from the dead. I'm a new creation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace.
Hallelujah.
You have to get rid of the law, I'm telling you. I know it sounds wrong, but you have to. If you don't, you will never have peace. Never. It's impossible. Because you're trying to find your peace from being good. You're trying to find your peace in some, you know, sport or some person or something or some vision you have that's, or whatever, some vain imagination you have that you're trying to find, you're not going to find it. If you're trying to find peace, you won't find it. You already got it. Peace that passes all understanding, you already got it. If you're trying to find it, then you won't find it. And there's tons of people, even in our church, that are always talking about, Dana, I just can't get it like you can get it. I'm like, get what? There's nothing to get. Jesus just gave you everything. He gave you all of his peace. He gave you all of his joy. He gave you all of his righteousness. He's given you everything. So you don't have to get it. Just don't be good. Know Jesus. When I read the Bible, I'm not reading it to get some principle. Well, if I, you know, do this with, if I buy my wife flowers, maybe she'll love me or something. You know, people are always doing stuff like that. Silly. I'm not saying not to do it. You can do it. I've done it. But not for Leah to like me or something. I never do anything for my wife so she'll like me. I just do it because she's my wife. Jesus is the same way. He loves you. He does it just because he loves you. He doesn't do it because you're good or because you deserve it or don't deserve it or whatever. He just does it because he loves you. As a matter of fact, God loves the whole world. Why do you think this world's not destroyed? Why do you think the heathen are... You see people prospering, you see people, they're still going, they're still alive. And you wonder sometimes, I wonder sometimes how people are still alive. I'll look at somebody and I know their lifestyle, I'm thinking, how are they still alive? They don't even eat right. They don't exercise. They just drink beer all the time and they're, you know, and they're just worthless. How are they even still alive, God? But God keeps them. He's patient. Man, he is patient. You could live the worst, most demonic, evil, self-destructive lifestyle ever, and God will keep you around. I know a guy, my son-in-law's brother, who's a drug dealer, was put in jail. He was, these people tried to assassinate him. They killed his girlfriend, and they shot him in the, twice, once in the neck like this. Didn't even leave a scar.
Wow.
And then he totals his car, gets in this huge accident. Then he gets thrown in jail. He has to wear one of those ankle things. And he's still going. It's like his guy's undestructible. I keep thinking to myself, man, God's... And it was kind of neat because Jax, my little grandson, was being dedicated. They wanted to dedicate him to the Lord. So I went over to their house. I forgot all about it. It was kind of funny. Story, but anyway, I went over there, kind of rushed over there for my Bible because they wanted me to do it. But all of his family was there. You know, they're a Hispanic family, but they're precious people. But there's a lot of them there, like filling their whole room. And his mother-in-law was, all the people were there, and so everybody's kind of looking at me. And I'm just like, oh. So anyway, it was neat because I got a chance to preach the gospel. But that guy I was just telling you about, his brother was in the corner looking at me. He was staring at me while I was talking. I was talking about the gospel and how Jax was going to grow up to be a man of God and Jesus is awesome and all this stuff. And he's just looking at me going... the whole time. Wow. And, you know, he just got shot and all this stuff. I'm like, well, maybe it was... Yeah, it was already past that, yeah. So I was just like, man, this guy is... He's going to get saved because he's resisting. But his life's a mess. But he's still having fun. He hasn't run out of this world. Once you get to a certain point, you're done. It was me. It just happened to be when I was 25. By the time I got to be 25, I was just done. I couldn't figure anything out. I was a mess emotionally, spiritually, in every way. I was a mess. So when he comes into himself, he comes into himself. But people are awesome. They can just keep going and going and going. I mean, Leah's mom and dad, they're in her dad's 95, and he is not going to die, ever. But he's pretty good health. I mean, he's doing good, but he's a believer. He loves Jesus. And his mom, too, she loves Jesus. But they're just, man, they are tough. And they're doing all these, you know, taking pills and they eat awful. I'm like, God.
That's amazing.
I am wasting my time trying to eat healthy. And so I'm just going to, why can't I just have cake and eat cookies like Leah's mom does? That's what she has for breakfast. She wake up in the morning, she'll make coffee. And then she'll put this stuff in there that's total corn syrup. It's just corn syrup. It's a powdered stuff. Poison, yeah. She drinks that, a couple cups of that, maybe three or four, and she eats all these cookies. And I'm like, oh my gosh, and she's doing all right. She's not doing bad at all. She's reading her Bible. But you know what? God is good. You can really screw your life up, and God will, he'll help you. He'll get you through it. I don't know how he does it. He's just like, man, God. I mean, I just think about my life before I became a Christian. I think, man, I should be dead. I can't even believe I'm still alive. I mean, all the stupid things I did, you know, arson, I did a lot of evil things. It's amazing I'm still alive. That's why I have hope for David's brother, even though he got shot and... You know, I mean, they shot him, right? The bullet went like through his face and then went out like right here or something. It was crazy. And they shot him in the back. Was it the back?
No, chest.
And they shot him in the chest. And he lived. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then he got in a total just Mercedes. He drives a nice car because he said, I always thought, man, if you're going to be a drug dealer, don't look like a drug dealer. You probably have a better chance of not getting caught. No, it's just me. But he has like tattoos. He looks like a drug dealer. So he's always going to jail. I'm like, well, don't do that. Okay, I'm sorry. I got distracted. Okay. Verse 15. What then shall we say? What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. You're not going to sin. People worry about that. Oh, if I'm not under a law, well, I'm going to sin. No, you're not. You will not sin any better or any worse. The law, as a matter of fact, the law will just expose more sin. You're not going to sin more or less. That's what homeschoolers think. We were homeschooled, all of our kids, so that's what homeschoolers think. If I put the law down, the hammer down, all these kids their whole life, then they'll be good. But then they all turn out rotten. We had a friend of ours who homeschooled his kids, and they were legalists to the hilt. But when the kids got to college, oh my gosh, a week. It took about 1 week. 18 years of raising this kid, and it took 1 week to totally destroy their life. Because people can't live up to all those expectations all the time, and they didn't know the gospel. All they knew is God's mean. He wants me to be good. And they're under all this pressure all the time, and they can't hardly move or function. They're popping pills and they're a mess because they can't live under that stress. People are stressed out to the max because they can't, even liberals. If you really listen to liberal talk, they're under all kinds of laws. My brother is a liberal to the hilt and he is stressed out all the time. Isn't he, Leah? because he's got so many rules he has to keep. He got to, you know, love. Yeah, I got to help this homosexual, and I got to do this. And I, oh man, those evangelicals, I hate those guys. And he's got all these laws. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got more laws than me, and I'm a Christian. I don't even have any laws. So that's what it's saying there. It's not saying be good. It's saying don't let sin run your life. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, the servants ye are to whom ye obey, we've yield ourselves to Jesus. Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but not anymore. Because God promised. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which ye have believed you. Being then free from sin, free, ye became servants of righteousness. It's easier not to sin when you're free from sin. It just makes sense. But if you're not free, you're just keeping a law. You're not free from it. You're just covering it up. I quit smoking. Now I chew 10 packs of gum a day. I mean, it's not really being set free. You're just exchange one sin for another. You're just, you know, people do that all the time. I'm not going to drink beer anymore. I'm going to drink wine. You know, I'm not going to fornicate anymore. I'm going to, you know, do something else. I mean, you know, people just, it's just, they just switch stuff to, because our flesh is, you know, our flesh just wants to sin all the time. But the Bible says right here that we're free from sin. We are free. You are free from sin. Everybody say, I'm free from sin.
I'm free from sin.
That means you're free from sin. But I know, but I just cussed on the way to church. No, man, you're free. You're free. You're free. It's the only way you'll be free. You won't be free by trying to do the thing. Okay. Being freed from sin, you become servants of righteousness. I speak after manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have, if you yield your members as service to uncleanness, to iniquity, and to iniquity, even so, now yield yourselves as members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness, which is Jesus, which is your peace. That's your peace right there. Righteousness is your peace. If you're not righteous, there's no peace. Nobody in the world has peace. None. Not one. Except for Christians. And then that's pretty rare too, because people are always trying to be, people are under a law. They're under some obligation to do something. They're stressed. Once you have a law put on you, you have no peace if you receive it. Because then you have to do it. And you're worried about it because you know you don't have the juices to do it, but you're going to figure out a way somehow to do it. Then you're stressed. But if you just go, oh, I'm free from sin. You got to get out the cheap way. I'm free from sin. Jesus loves me. He's forgiven me all my sins. Even that one I just did 2 seconds ago. I'm forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. I'm free from sin. Then sin will not have dominion over me. It won't control my life. Lust no longer will control your life. Fear, doubt, unbelief. All those things that people are controlled by, they won't control you more because you're not under law. But if you're under law, it'll control you to the hilt. Like I was saying about those homeschool kids. If you're under a law, then you are sinning. Even if it doesn't look like it, you're just under a tyrant. So you're, okay, I won't lust, or I won't, you know, go out with that boy, or I won't, you know, whatever. I won't dress like that, or whatever the thing is, whatever the law is. Then you're stressed, because then you gotta keep that thing going, and you can't. It's better to go Jesus' way. It's easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's awesome. Amen. Because now I don't, you know, there's a lot of things I don't do anymore. Not because I don't want to do them or I didn't even think about it. They just fell off. Because I've got my eyes on Jesus, I don't want to sin. I'm not even interested in it. Whether I sin or don't sin, I'm not even interested in that concept. Because God, Jesus is all my goodness, He's all my righteousness, and that brings you peace. Do you see the correlation between righteousness and peace? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the same. You have righteousness, you have peace. No righteousness, then if you're unrighteous, you don't have Jesus, you have no peace. None. Not at all. I mean, I don't care what the world says. Oh, I'm so peaceful right now because I'm drinking this beer and I'm sitting on the beach in my bikini and... I mean, that is not peace. But then 5 minutes, they don't. The commercials, it looks like on the commercials, looks so awesome. But it's not. then they, you know, then 5 minutes later they're throwing up or something's, you know, or they make a stupid decision because they're drunk. I mean, I don't know. You just can't, don't look at that. That stuff is stupid. But when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. We had, because you were free. That what fruit had you in those things that you are now ashamed? There's no fruit, because all those things is death. Unrighteousness just leads to death. But now being made free from sin, everybody say, I'm free from sin. Become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And it goes on, and I'm not going to read it all, but in the seventh chapter is awesome. A lot of people don't like it. I love it. It talks about sin not having dominion over you because you were married once to the law. But now that you're dead, you're free to marry another. So you're not married to the law anymore. You were. The whole world's married to the law. But the freedom you get is that now that your spouse, which was the law, died, you died to that. Now you're free to marry another, Jesus. Now he's my righteousness. Oh, this was my righteousness before, but it was no peace, no joy, sinning all over the place, wicked. But now, just like Israel, that's their problem. And now we are free in Jesus. Now I'm free not to sin. You can say that. I say it in the morning all the time. God, today I'm free to do good. I'm not doing it. That's why I'm free to do it, because I'm not doing it. Amen? So anyway, your peace is totally a gift, because your righteousness is totally a gift. So there's no, you don't have to work for peace. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to move out the country. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to get divorced. You can stay with your husband or wife. You don't have to do anything, because peace doesn't come that way. People think it does. That's why people do all those things, because they think, oh, if I could just get rid of my wife, or if I could just get rid of my husband, then I'll be peaceful. Oh boy, I could have some peace around here. Or if I could just get rid of my mother-in-law out of my house, I'll have peace. But it's not going to work, because peace is something totally different. The world cannot give it to you. You can't give it to yourself. Only Jesus gives it to you. Like it says in John, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid. So Father, we thank you for this word today. God, that you are a peace. Have broken down every wall, every sin, every thing that's against us has been destroyed. Even death. You've even conquered death. So death has no sting to it anymore. He has no power over us, because we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that. We thank you that all of us here tonight, now, just think of something. Just cast all of our cares on you. Businesses, decisions, relationship decisions, you know, doing anything. We just cast all of our cares on you, because you care for us. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts, will keep our hearts, will, and we just thank you for that, Father, for doing that. And we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.